The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Here's the thing. So this is the bye week edition, kind of, because we're going to do two shows without a game happening between the two, right?
Right.
And so
we've
got a lot of stuff that we're going to cover today, and then we'll have another show coming up for you guys because we just can't leave the DMV without a show, right?
Right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, the thing was just stop. I mean, you think traffic is bad around here? Everything would just come to a standstill.
Don't get me started on traffic.
We'll talk about it. Go ahead.
So the Redskins, the last you saw them on the field, they lost to the Buffalo Bills 24-9. But I have reason for everyone to be super optimistic.
You?
Like,
that's,
yes.
That's usually my job.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the whole season has been kind of weird because you, who normally are the optimistic one, has been down. I've been optimistic. I'm going to tell you why my optimism is at a whole new level.
I don't believe
here with the Washington Redskins. Despite the 24-9 loss.
24-9.
Here's why I'm optimistic. Number one, it is clear, despite the fact that, you know, Callahan doesn't want to say that Dwayne Haskins is going to start the rest of the year, he's going to start the rest of the year.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to say it. He doesn't want to admit it. He wants to act like it's game to game. He wants to pretend like it just depends on how Case is feeling and all that kind of stuff. No. Dwayne Haskins is starting the rest of the year. Reason number one to be optimistic. Reason number two to be optimistic is he's running the ball. This is all we've asked for the last 5 years on the Federal Football Report is for the Redskins to come into the a game with a plan to run the ball. I don't care what the rest of the league is doing. I don't care that we're in a passing league. Quarterbacks got to pass. I don't care.
Right.
Burgundy and gold. We run the ball. Smash mouth football. And that's what he's doing.
Look. I was like withholding my desire to just burst forth and just add to what you were saying. I agree with you 100%. Let me add to that.
Please do.
They run the ball except when it's 3rd and 2.
Well, here's the thing. Nothing's going to be perfect.
Right.
Here's the thing. So short yardage situation. Yes, run the ball. Here's the other thing. You can let Dwayne throw a pass 25 yards or longer. Let's stretch it out a little bit. So I do have criticism for the offense at this point. But I'm so overwhelmed with the fact that he's going to start from here on out and that they're running the ball. I don't even want to criticize the offense at all.
So
we're
going to hold
our
criticisms for this portion. Okay, all right. I'll just save it up because I got some of it coming. We got criticism coming, but we'll save it up. Yeah. First of all, the fact that he started – I mean, I heard someone say
against
now,
the Bills, which really good defense.
Yeah. Now I heard someone say on a competing radio show. Although, who can compete with us? But anyway, I heard someone say that for Case Keenum's concussion protocol, they brought some posters out that were already blurred. So I said, Case, how does it look? He says, it looks a little blurry. He said, oh, please go back to Dwayne you up.
No.
But yeah, you know what? It's kind of interesting to me the way that Callahan handles the media. Now, I'm not familiar with him when he was a head coach before. If he had the same cat and mouse thing going with the media where he didn't want to say this, didn't want to say that, right? But to me, this is just me. I don't think that if he had a choice of talking to the media and not talking to him, we wouldn't hear nothing if he had that choice.
No, absolutely. Well, listen, and let's not forget this thing about Callahan. Callahan is credited with getting the Dallas Cowboys offensive line and running game together before he left Dallas. I mean, I know a few Dallas fans, they were upset that Callahan left Dallas because now it's left to Jason Garrett again. And they were so upset when he left and came to the Redskins. Now, apparently there were some disagreement, we'll say, between Gruden and Callahan. And, you know, why did it take so long for the organization to kind of get this thing right? But at the same time, when we're begging week after week after week, I mean, like, I feel as if the height of dysfunction and loss of credibility was week one when Adrian Peterson, who the team says was the offensive MVP of the season, doesn't even play because you, and Gruden talks about, well, special teams and then, you know, Wendell Smallwood can play. Blah, blah, blah. No, like that doesn't, he's Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, 18 carries, 108 yards. I think I heard a stat that in this one game, he carried for 108 yards. The whole season under Gruden, he carried for less than 108 yards. It's ridiculous. Run the ball to AP.
You know what, though? But okay, we're not. Okay, we're looking at the positive. We're going to get. There's plenty of time to go to the negative. I'm trying to hold with contain the negativity. But I like the fact that at least Haskins got in the game because it's easy for us to realize that the young man has only played like he's only started like. What, 8 football games?
Right, yeah, no, yeah, it was Ohio like, State, know. And it's easy to say he needs more experience. But this is one thing that I talk about, you know, when I remember being 19, 20 years old, mm-hmm. trying to get a job somewhere and say, well, you don't have enough experience. I'm thinking, well, how am I going to get experience unless you hire me and then I get to learn? I mean, at some point, you have to invest, when you invest in your talent or you invest in your future, you're investing in, yes, we're going to give you the money, we're going to coach you up, but we also are going to invest game time experience into you growing, and then we'll start the evaluation process. I heard so many people trying to evaluate Dwayne Haskins off of this game against the Bills when it's ridiculous to try to evaluate him based on this one game against the Bills because he had 1 week as the known starter, getting all the first team reps in practice, and then he goes against a pretty good defense in the Bills. Here's when you start the evaluation next week because you had 1 week to practice. You had a full game against the Bills. Then you get 2 weeks to prepare for the Jets. And then you play the Jets. Okay.
Well, still staying
that's
on,
the evaluation process.
Still staying on the positive. A couple of things I noticed off the top about young Mr. Haskins. And everybody in the league.
By the way, he went 15 for 22, 144. Not impressive, but it lose you the game.
I'm not a big numbers guy. If you okay. if you go 4 for 20 and throw two touchdown passes, I'm just as happy. Right. But one thing I noticed that a lot of NFL quarterbacks cannot throw an out pattern. They can't. Right. They just don't have the arm strength because the ball has to get from point A to point B. And you have defenders there. Yeah. He can get the ball out on an out pattern, and he can get it there quickly.
Right.
That, to me, says tons. It says more about that than about ability than, like, reading. Who can't read a defense? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you know what? That's right. That's sports commentators and that's fans saying, oh, he can't read the defense. Right. How do you know how to read a defense? Have you ever read a defense before? I've never read a pro defense. Yeah, I've never read a college defense. I've barely read high school defenses. And so the point is that how do you know he doesn't know how to read that defense?
Here's how you read a defense. Your team is wearing one color. The other team is wearing another color. If you see your color without the other color near it, the guy is open.
Right. That's exactly how you read a defense.
That's how you read a defense.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You know, and everybody's going to say we're close. The team's close. The team, everyone in the organization, the team's not close, right? And so we understand that. So the drill is get the guy who's the future, the most experienced that you can. And his first game in, if you think that listen, my biggest complaint is that there weren't even any attempts at a deep ball.
You know what I mean? That was a strange thing. That was strange.
And I hate the fact that there was not even one attempt. I mean, you figure you throw five of them up in an NFL game. Out of five, two of them are going to get caught. You know what I mean? So you don't even try one. That's fine. Because to me, it's all about the future. If you want to start him slow,
I'm okay with that. Have we moved over to the negatives yet? Are we still?
You know what? Let's do it. Let's do the negatives.
Okay.
Because there's very few positives. And the negatives
are saying, come on, fellas. They keep calling us.
We're getting close to the holiday season. No. Santa Claus makes a list, and he checks it twice. And so he does the positives. So let's do it again.
But you're absolutely right. No attempts at the deep ball. I don't understand. It's just... All they got to do is say, Dwayne, throw it, let it go.
Scary Terry's going to go deep.
Going deep.
Throw it as far as you can.
Right. I mean, you know how to throw the ball. That's it. Seven steps, let it fly, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and don't worry about it. We'll know that we told you to do it, right?
Right.
But we got to let the defense know that we're going to attempt to run. And they were just set up so perfectly because of the way that AP was just slicing and dicing the defense, right?
Absolutely.
You know? Look, old school AP would have had 250 yards.
Right, right. So he doesn't have the breakaway ability that he used to have, and that's fine.
Without the breakaway ability, he got 100 yards in the first half.
And that's another thing. Like, he had over 100 yards in the first half, and he finished with 108. They were never outside of, like mid-fourth quarter. The game was never really out of reach. There was no reason to abandon the run.
Right.
And my thing is, if you're going to continue to run the ball, or it may make it easier to run the ball in the second half, if the defense believes that you might try to throw a pass over 25 yards, over 20 yards, and you're right, just say, Dwayne, listen, we're going to do play action fake to Peterson. Let it fly. If it's there, it's there. If it's picked off, it's picked off. If it's incomplete, it's incomplete. We're going to go deep. What do we have to lose? The team's at that point 1-7.
That should have been the first play of the second half. Mm-hmm. That should have been the first play. The way he just sliced him up in the first half, the second half, he said, okay, play action fake. Adrian Peterson dive, then just let it, just throw it. Right.
Right.
Because what
you've got Sims and you got McLaurin who can take the top. Even Quinn, like, you've got receivers. And that's one of the better things about this season is that we are learning that, you know, I'm thinking like, wow, there's no offensive weapons. No. They've struck gold with these receivers from Quinn to Terry McLaurin to McLaurin to Sims. They've got receivers.
Harmon has shown that he can play. Plus, he's got a big body. He can block. You know, it's really weird, man. It's like, I'm full of analogies today. It's like it's like you find a grocery store that has all kinds of perfect fresh produce, and the butcher area is just pristine, and the best cuts of meat, and the best seafood. The lobster is prime, and all that. And then you just give all this stuff to somebody who can't cook.
right.
And, you know, where did this thing come from? Remember earlier in the season, we kept hearing how Kevin O'Connell was the next greatest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to be the new McVay. Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking for the new hot young coach and all that.
Because wasn't he at Ohio State, too, when Haskins was there?
He was? I don't know where this dude came from. All of a sudden, he's one of the 26 coaches they have on this team, right? Uh-huh. You know? So, and there were people in this town who said that this should be the new coach when Gruden was let go.
Okay, so this is his third, his first season in the role of offensive coordinator, but this is his third season with the Redskins, so he wasn't there with Haskins. Trying to figure out where all this hype comes from with Kevin O'Connell. Probably because he's just young. And so with young people, they're like, oh, he's going to be great. It's like, what?
They probably saw him at like the Caps Parade drinking beer through his T-shirt. They said, oh, man, he's really cool. Right? Yeah. I don't know. But he hasn't shown me anything, right?
I mean,
I don't think that this running game. But okay, some basics about the thing that just irritate me to no end. Third and two. You got 2 yards to go.
Mm-hmm.
You got your quarterback who's an additional 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, which means you got 9 to go. The ball will be 9 yards away from where you need to be to have a first down, right? With the running back there, so the running back basically has to gain 10 yards to gain 2.
Right.
You know, it makes no sense. When I see them on third and two in the shotgun, this has no chance.
Yeah, no chance at all.
No chance at all. So whoever labeled this dude as an offensive genius, I would say, kindly, I would say that the jury's still out.
Well, and we saw that it's coming to fruition, like you said, with certain plays like that. But overall, even with the negatives in hand, Kevin, are you on my side with, I feel more reason to be optimistic than pessimistic with the team right now.
I see hope as opposed to no hope. Before I saw no hope because I mean, you know, Case Keenum had one of the great storybook career years that year with the Vikings when he was the third string quarterback and led them to the NFC Championship game, right? It was a storybook, but you can't recreate that. You know?
No, you can't. And truth of the matter is, you know, your future is, and this may seem like a ridiculous statement, but your future is where your future is.
Yeah.
And the future's not with Case Keenum. And the future's not with Colt McCoy. The future is with Dwayne Haskins. Now, whether that future is the next 8 games, what 7 games, or whether that future is the next 7 games and next season, which he should at least get the full season next year, or whatever that future is with him. And listen, I get it, guys. Alex Smith broke. It's not with Alex Smith either.
Yeah,
and by
yeah.
the way, when Alex Smith was signed to the team, no one thought he was a 6-year answer.
Right.
I mean,
true.
He's a 2 to 3 year answer until you find the quarterback of the future. The future is with Dwayne Haskins. And folks, the future is now. Scrap the plans you had for the rest of the year. The team's 1-8. It is now time to focus on the future.
I feel kind of bad for the guy, though, because he, number one, he didn't ask them to draft him.
Right. Yeah.
And then he was thrust into an environment where the guy who's responsible for your development didn't want you there.
Right.
You know, and that's obvious, right? You know, I don't know if you've ever been forced to be in a position where it was obvious that they didn't want you there, but you had to just make the most of it, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to make the most. And that's what he did. Now, me personally, I have, well, I guess it's my personality. I like to make those people who put me in that situation, I like them to make them feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Right.
So I like to be up close to them. I like to constantly ask them questions, take notes.
Uh-huh.
I try to be so good at what that situation is, that makes them mad. That makes them even madder.
Right. We were hoping to get rid of Kevin, but we can't now because he's
so good. Yeah. So I wish Dwayne, like a lot of times you see a quarterback head coach conference on the sideline when the defense is on the field. You see the backup quarterback like trying to like muscle his way into the conversation too. So that, what was that? You should look at I try to let him know I was there. Right. That's who would remind me of that type of guy.
Who would that be?
Joe Theismann.
Right.
Joe Theismann, he got here. Was back in the day. We had Billy and Sonny, right? They weren't going to start this guy over Billy and Sonny, two D.C. legends.
Right.
But he was somewhere around all the time.
But you know what was funny? And it's probably just a me thing. And it reminded me of another of a national sports talk show host, Colin Cowherd, when there was a picture of Dwayne Haskins on the sidelines. He took his helmet off. And he's got these long earrings on. And I was thinking, you know, doesn't that bother you a little bit when you're playing? Like, do you not realize, you know, it's just odd because they weren't like just studs. They were like long earrings.
Bangles.
Yeah. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I just, there is a part of me that wants my quarterback not to have the long earrings on the field, to not wear his baseball cap on backwards or to the side, but to just kind of be the adult on the team.
Right. The quarterback is in. He has to be the guy. We get to the huddle. He tells everybody else, shut up.
Right.
You know? And they shut up, right? Because I got this page book I got to read, this phone book of play called, like, you know, Z left, aces right, Mo Larry Curly on three, jiggle motion.
Right. And it reminds me of why I think there's probably overvalue on Dak Prescott. I think Dak can play. I think Dak Prescott can play, but I think because he's a serious guy and you can let all the other players around him, even though Amari Cooper doesn't seem to be this way, but you can allow an Ezekiel Elliott to be on the team, who's kind of a goofball, right?
Right.
Because you've got Dak. You've got the guy. You know what I mean? And I want Dwayne to be that. I want Dwayne Haskins to be what Dak Prescott is.
Yeah, and it was interesting, but again, I guess I'm not sure they wanted Dak or not.
He was there.
He was available, right? You know, hey, all right.
Because he was the team's third option. Romo got hurt in the preseason. I'm trying to remember. Oh, and then Kellen Moore, who's the current offensive coordinator, he also, I think he broke his leg or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, it's your turn. And he came in the preseason and played very well.
At one point in the preseason, I remember this well, because I said, man, how come we can't get one of those? Dak had thrown more touchdowns than incompletion.
Right. In the preseason, it was nuts.
And you know, Dwayne, in fairness to Dwayne, Dwayne flashed in the preseason. I mean,
absolutely.
it was third string against third string, but still, these are NFL caliber players, right?
Right, you know? Right. These are guys who have an opportunity to make a team.
And he threw the ball deep, right? So
right.
I hope that he takes advantage of this opportunity. I personally think that Callahan is doing it the right way.
Absolutely.
I think he's doing it the right way because he's keeping a lot of this pressure off of Dwayne by not...
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, there's two ways to train up your young quarterback, right? One is to keep him on the bench and make him watch, which we think is ridiculous to do with Dwayne Haskins, because I didn't see anything in the first 7 games that I didn't think Dwayne could do himself that Case Cult was doing, right? Like, well, he can do that. He can, you know, like, not score touchdowns. There's that way to make him sit and watch. But then there's the way to bring him in the game but not ask too much of him too early. And I think that's what happened. I do believe against the Jets, with 2 weeks of preparation and a game under his belt, we're going to see a much more aggressive Dwayne Haskins.
I hope so. I hope so, because it's so easy to, it's easy for us to think about how to do it. Mm-hmm. It might not be so easy for them. All you got to do is start out with a couple of short passes, get him in the game, mm-hmm. just get his head right, you mm-hmm. know. Keep giving the ball to Adrian Peterson, who you have no reason for not giving the ball to mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson. Let me think about this. When they started the game against Buffalo, Buffalo had 8 men in the box.
Right.
And they still couldn't stop AP. Mm-hmm. There was some times that AP had guys drink. And you know what? Let me interrupt myself. We haven't talked about the defense at all. But there was time when AP had 3, 4, 5 guys draped over him.
Yes.
AP is a guy who can take a 1 yard loss mm-hmm. and make it into a 4 yard game.
What was that play? And that cornerback that he just stiffed on to the ground. Like, no. I know you're not coming up here to take this tackle
football.
On me.
Right. Pick him up. I'll give you an autograph after the game. But right now, this is something else about that. The fact that he has to run and carry all these guys on him, that shows me the attitude of the offensive line, because mm-hmm. they're supposed to be pushing these guys off of AP. And
right.
because of the type of ball player that Gruden wanted, he wanted one that he could dominate. And the personality of this offense, they just aren't aggressive, because
right.
Gruden did not like aggression. You see with the Swearinger thing, the Zach Brown thing. Anybody, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why guys like Kendall Fuller and other guys who are not here anymore, maybe that's why they're not here. They weren't Gruden's type of guy, which is Gruden had to be the dominant personality. He just can't do it. He just can't do it all the time.
Right.
And I don't know if you call that being a control freak, but the aggressive nature, this is why these guys can't give us a yard when it's 3rd and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have that aggressive nature.
They
don't
have never asked of them, wasn't demanded.
Right.
Which I think Bill Callahan is trying to change that too, because he's an offensive line guy.
Right.
You know, and he's credited with working miracles with the Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
You can't change it. You can't change it overnight. And it's a mindset thing. And eventually, I'm hoping that, and we still haven't talked about the defense, reminding ourselves we have not talked about the defense.
Right.
I'm hoping that eventually the mindset will change and he'll turn these guys into a group of guys and say, you know what? Losing sucks.
We don't want to lose anymore.
We don't want to lose, and this other team is going to try to make us lose. We got to stop them. That's what it's all about. Stop them from trying to make us lose.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. It's the bi-week edition of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM. We'll get to fake news or not in a second, but right now I want to talk a little bit about the defense. So the defense all season long, kind of disappointing, supposed to be the strong point of the team, hadn't shown that at all. I mean, you know, giving up 268 net yards against the Bills. And now here's why I think that is disappointing. The Bills' offense stinks.
I don't care
what their record is. You know, I get it. They played the Patriots tough. They're 6-2, sure. Their offense is bad. Jaren Allen, not a good quarterback. Again, Dwayne Haskins goes 15 for 22, 144. Allen goes 14 for 20, 160 and one touchdown. Like, that's not much better than Dwayne Haskins. For those who want to criticize Dwayne Haskins.
Not at all. My concerns with the defense is the defense. It's like everything. Mm-hmm. They have to blow this thing up, man, because number one, this 3-4 thing just isn't working. You cannot consistently have pass rush pressure with 3 guys.
I don't think the Redskins' defense has ever been effective under a 3-4 situation.
Never.
Go back to 4-3.
It's really, you got,
I don't understand the benefits of 3-4. I don't remember a good defense being 3-4.
Back in the day, what it does is the Ravens.
right.
The Ravens, if you got a nose tackle like Ho-Ho, they not
the
thing. Right?
Yeah,
you
know, it was basically 2 people.
Yeah. Right. When the Green Bay, back in the last Super Bowl, they ran a 3-4 when they had, God, what was the dude's name?
I know who you're talking about.
But then again, they had A.J. Hawk and what's the other Viking-looking dude? I keep forgetting the name. Just retired.
Not Matthews. Not Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clay Matthews. Mm-hmm. Right. When you got guys like that on the edge, the 3-4. When you got guys like that on the edge.
Gilbert Brown. Is that who you're talking about?
No, not Gilbert. It was. I'll tell you, because he did one of those discount double check commercials with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
He had like the guys with the goatee that are braided on 2 sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't remember his name, but he was a load in the middle, right? When you got talent like that, you can run it. Now we got 3 guys who are similar on the defensive line, and Allen, Payne, and Ioannidis. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see two of those guys in the middle and then put Kerrigan's hand in the dirt as a defensive end.
BJ Raji.
Right. He was a load in the middle, right? That, when you have something like that, the unmovable object in the middle,
right,
that makes teams have to adjust, right? We have never had the proper personnel for a 3-4 defense. We need to have four guys up front, and that'll cut out some of this running. The Burgundy goal gets victimized in the fourth quarter on the run. At the time, we absolutely have to stop somebody. We can't do it,
right,
because they got the guys. They can get a guy like Ryan Kerrigan is good when he can get leverage, get up and under a guy, mm-hmm, use a move. Mm-hmm. But when he's standing up and the defensive tackle,
he's getting pushed around.
Yeah. So you got to have an advantage, and your advantage. And I learned this from Dexter Manley. He said, because I asked him one time, I said, could you play like Kerrigan plays on a 3-4? He said, no, because I can't get that explosiveness. The explosiveness comes when I'm down there in that crouch and the ball is snapping. I push off on my leg, right? He said, if I'm standing up, I can't get that, right?
Right.
We are not going to be anything until we get rid of that. And the calls, these guys. If you look, you know every time they're about to blitz.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know it watching it from the TV, the quarterback says, hey, they're about to blitz, right? You know, they call whatever, because the blitzes are always picked up.
Yep.
I can't say always. Let's say 97% of the time.
Right.
They're picked up, right?
Very rarely are they getting through.
So this might be a departure from me, but I'm saying that it might have to change defensive coordinators. I know you haven't heard that coming from me before. Is that mean not today?
I'm pretty sure I can pull a tape of you saying that.
We got to do that. That's not going to change. It's not going to change until we do that, until we get a more aggressive defense, a defensive coordinator, because they take up the personality of the team. And after a while, they got to be standing in that huddle, and they got to do a Swearinger, and they can say, man, this ain't going to work.
But did you see the story about Swearinger and Gruden?
That Gruden wanted to get rid of him early?
Yeah.
I believe that. That goes exactly what we were saying earlier, right? There was a personality that was more dominant than his that he didn't want around.
Yeah. No, and it's crazy because Swearinger, the first season he was there, I mean, he got off to a blazing start. I mean, you're talking about MVP of the team.
Right.
I mean, DJ Swearinger was playing some ball.
Oh, yeah.
And why would you not want that guy on the team? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, you know, have guys that, like, speak their mind and tell the truth. We can't have that.
Right. Well, we can't have that. Exactly.
We can't have that. That makes us look bad. We it's all about us looking bad. Winning, that's a byproduct.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
We can't be looking bad.
Well, there you go.
That's like what the president said. You can't lose an election because it make me look bad.
Right. Like, okay, there are some things a little more important than that. All right, America, you know what time it is. It's the second segment of the show, and every second segment of the show, we do fake news or not.
It's time for fake news or not.
Statements. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or not, and we're going to do an impeachment version of fake news or not, which means just being, you know, like replaced. And I guess impeachment isn't really being replaced or removed from office. It's, you know, it's just kind of a process that happens,
right.
But you get what we're saying for fake news or not. Fake news or not, impeachment version number one. Bill Callahan will be impeached and will not return next year as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Fake news or not?
That is fake news right there. Fake news. It all depends on the results that are provided. If we see some improvement in key areas, right? If we see improvement, I mean, if, you know, they have to scoring a touchdown is an improvement, but they're going to have to change some stuff, man. They got to change this. They got to get more aggressive. They got to get more into a football mentality, mind you. Like I said, third and two is not a shotgun down. Bring in a couple of extra tight ends and another tackle, which they tried a little bit in Buffalo, but it was a penalty call because the guy didn't like inform the when you line up in an eligible position,
you gotta check in, and he didn't do that,
and that's coaching right there. That's coaching. That's Kevin DeWonderkin O'Connell should have said, hey, check in, make sure you check in with the ref. Right.
Look, it sounds like Kevin O'Connell's wearing a little thin on you,
and a little bit, and you know, little things like, you know, I haven't played a ton of football in my life, but and I was receiving when I played football. If it was 3rd and 4 in the huddle, the quarterback would say, make sure you get the first down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reminder. Now, I knew that, but he'd say it anyway just because in case I didn't know it.
Right.
Make sure. So whatever pattern you run, you it's up to you. Don't run. If you got 4 to go, don't run a 3-yard route. And
right.
They've been doing that a couple of times. All this stuff is coaching.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's 3rd and 6. Don't run a 4-yard route.
That's right.
Get to the stick. Get behind the sticks in case you got to come back to the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
All that should be football common sense. It ain't happening. So, but if I see improvement, I'll, you know, there's a, I'm glad you call this the impeachment version, because there is a segment of society who just thinks that it's not football nowadays. They refer to it as today's NFL.
Right.
Like all you do is throw. And that's, they're trying to hijack. Well, here's the campaign. We got to make football great again.
That's how he
making
doesn't get
football
impeached.
Great again. We're going to. That's it. That's the motto from now on. Make football great again. So
I don't care what everybody else around the league does. What works for this team?
That's right.
What works for this team is running the ball, smash mouth football, bringing this guy along that way, then let's just do that.
Right, right.
Can we
right.
do that?
Who in this league would not like to have Ezekiel Elliott? Right.
You well, know,
who,
there you go.
Right, who
there.
In this league would not like to have a
Saquon Barkley.
Barkley or Delbert Cook. What's his name? Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, with the Vikings.
Who then? And the young man who used to be with the Vikings, who's with the Saints now.
Kamar?
Well, no, maybe he wasn't with the Vikings. The Vikings, I mean, the Saints have Kamar and a couple of other running backs.
Yeah, they did.
Begins
they
with
do.
An L. What was his name? It begins with an L. I thought he was with the Vikings, a running back.
Oh, maybe you're thinking about the Jets, Le'Veon Bell.
No, not Le'Veon. Okay. Wait a minute, look at my fantasy team because I picked him up. I drafted him. But to go, but to answer your first question, no, that's fake news. If he can show some improvement, I'm in first place in my league, by the way.
Nice.
Did a nice little write-up on me saying
fantasy
that
leagues take so much of your time.
Yeah, because you got to remember to do the team, right? So, so to answer your first question, Latavius Murray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's done me well this week. So, yeah, who wouldn't want to have one of these guys? Yeah, there is no such thing as a new NFL. You guys are thinking about Madden. Stop thinking with a Madden mentality. Mm-hmm. Just think about getting your chest dirty. That's football. Make football great again. All right, so that was fake news.
That was fake news and not question number one.
Number one, okay. I thought you were coming out the
same.
No.
Right, fake
yet.
News or not. Statement number two, impeachment version. Dwayne Haskins will be impeached and will not start every single game for the Washington Redskins for the rest of this season.
That's fake news. That's okay. Fake news. That's fake news. They have to. Can you give me a reason other than injury? He would have to have a total. Not only like would he have to have a breakdown, he has to have a meltdown. He'd have to like. Start taking his clothes off in the middle of the game, saying, I can't take it anymore, right? Somebody maybe snatching one of the earrings out or something. No. I cannot see a scenario where he is that bad where they put Colt McCoy back in the game. I just can't see it. Although, if history tells us anything, it's all possible. Remember when Kirk Cousins had the meltdown? He got so bad that they put him third
Kirk
string.
Kirk had a meltdown? I don't remember this.
Yeah. Back in it was Gruden's first year. Remember, at the end of Gruden's first year is when he benched RG3. RG3 ended up starting, I think, the last two games and beating the Eagles, I remember, at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a period that it went from Kirk being the starter to Kirk being third string. So, yeah, it's possible. I just can't see it with Haskins what we got behind him now.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I can't see that either. So that's fake news is what you're calling it.
Yeah, very fake.
Okay. Fake news or not, statement number three. Again, this is the impeachment version because of certain developments happening here in Washington, D.C. Non-football related, by the way.
That's right.
Fake news or not, Adrian Peterson will come back another season. He will not be impeached as the Redskins running back until they figure out what's going on with Darius Geis.
No, that's fake news. I think that, you know, he's accomplished everything he has. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame, number
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't appear to me to be a guy that's about stats. Like,
right.
he just wants
right.
to be somewhere where he can just gain yardage and catch this, that. I think that if he has an opportunity to sign on with a contender. He might not start. I mean, but even that compassion, I mean, that he never strikes me as a guy who says, I should start because I'm Adrian Peterson.
Right.
He says, I should start because I'm the best running back you got.
Well, it's interesting because he made a comment, too, in the postgame show after the Bills loss where he said, you know what? My focus now is maybe we can finish 8-8. Like, you know, I wanted to go try to go 9-7. That ain't going to happen. But we can go 8-8. And I was like, that's what I'm talking. It reminded me of the same thing you talked about with RG3, a certain quarterback, where even the coach said, oh, well, our focus is next year. He said, no, it's not. Our focus is winning this year. And right. It ended up making the playoffs.
Right,
and it reminded me of that. Like, no, you know what? We can get 8-8. We can get 7-9. It's not impossible. We got to go on an amazing run. But why not?
Yeah, you look at a team like, you know what? I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it with the Patriots next year, mm-hmm. The Rams.
Right.
You know,
it's a weird situation with the Rams, too, with, you know, with Gurley and stuff. I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah. It reminds me of the world of Bo Jackson, and he had that one hit and develop arthritis from the whatever. Yeah. I don't think you get arthritis from an injury. I don't know. But, yeah, I can't. If he has an opportunity to play for a contender next year, he's at a point in life he'd probably
go for it,
more money. Right? For less money. He'd go for it. So, no, I think he's gone. One
okay.
way or another.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, folks. Fake news or not, the impeachment edition here on Federal Football Report. So much to talk about. I want to talk about the Washington Nationals in the next segment because we hadn't talked about them as World Series champions. But right now, halfway through the season, a little more than 8 games in, but we're at a bye week. What would you grade the season for the Redskins? And people can give an F and say, well, give an F because they're 1-8. But just overall right now, how would you grade the team?
I give them an A-.
Oh, wow. A-. That's way better than I thought.
Only for one reason.
Okay.
They fired Gruden. That shows the first thing is the team has to want to change. You got to admit you got a problem.
That's true.
And you have to want to change.
Yes.
And they did that. They said, we got a problem here.
And we want to change.
We want to change something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I give them an A-. Now, you know, that was on there. That's on the, you know, you get those pop quizzes and all that. So far, but the finals are coming up.
Yes.
So I don't know
what
kind of grade they're going on the finals. But so far, I'm grading on the curve, too. So I give them an A-.
My grade for the team this year is a C+. And here's the reason, because number one, my expectations for the team wasn't much better than what I see now. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And we look at the schedule ahead of time and we go wins, loss. I don't understand the people who thought at this point of the season, the team would be 8-1 or 4-5 or 5-4. I mean, I'm literally looking at the schedule and, you know, I thought week one would be a loss to the Eagles. I thought week two would be a loss to Dallas. I thought that they'd lose to the Bears. I thought they'd beat the Giants. So that's one win that they don't have. So I'm thinking 2-7. I figured they'd lose to the Patriots. They beat the Dolphins. I thought they'd beat the 49ers, but that's because I didn't know the 49ers would be as good as they are. So I'm at 1-8, I'm really looking at a realistic schedule in my mind. I was thinking they would be 3-5 right now. And the fact that they fired Jay Gruden and they seem to be turning things around and running the ball. So that's why I kind of give them a C+, because of expectations heading in. I didn't think they'd be 6-2 at this point or 6-3 or whatever the record would be. I thought they'd be pretty much 3-5, 3-6, maybe 2-7. I didn't think 1-8. But at the same time, given the expectations and where they're headed now, I can give them a C+.
Yeah, I understand. I think that there's development here. I think that the team is starting to take on a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there just has to be some fine-tuning in that run game. They got to change the way they run. They got to change the way they approach the run. They can't no more the influence blocking. Let's hit somebody in the mouth.
I'm going to hit you in the mouth, knock
you out the way.
Yep.
Then my boy is coming right behind me. He's going to hit you again. Right?
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Kevin, let's take a break from football for a second, and let's get talking about the Washington Nationals,
World Series
champions.
Our own.
It was amazing because it was my son's 7th birthday. We took him to Great Wolf Lodge in Williamsburg, Virginia for his birthday. and we're up in the room. He's up, I'm up, the wife's up. We're yelling and screaming. We're clapping for the Nationals, having a good time. They won it on his birthday, which was great. And just as a lifelong Washingtonian, you know, both of us are, how did it feel to you to see your team win this World Series?
It was a fabulous experience because I'm one of the few people I know who actually went to D.C. Stadium to watch baseball, right?
Nice.
I remember names that, well, a few of our listeners might remember names like Ed Brinkman, Paul Casanova. Mm-hmm. We had Ted Williams was the coach of that one time. Mm-hmm. Big Frank Howard. I didn't realize how big he was, but Frank Howard was the home run hitter, right? The big first baseman, I guess, at that time, right? Before roids and all that. He was just a big dude. He made a Nestle's Quick commercial back
Did
in the
he?
Day, right? Because it was like the catcher was making fun with him because he was right before he came up to the bat. He was drinking, stirring up some Nestle's Quick, right? And he said, Frank, you drinking Nestle's Quick? Ah, Frank. And so Frank came up, hit a home run, crack.
Uh-huh.
So the catcher said, man, Frank, how long you been doing that? He said, ever since I was about your size.
That's
so
funny.
I'm a lifelong Washington, nice. Lifelong that time Senators fan. But this was something special because I was very disappointed in the times they fell short. Right, you know, it hurt. You know, because I thought that they had it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they had it the year under Dusty. I really thought they were going to do it then because they were just like so baseball-y, right? They was just leading the team. They had that thing about the baseball. Then this thing happened last year with Bryce Harper and the contract thing, the free agent thing. Now, I'm never, because of like personal reasons, never have been a huge Bryce Harper fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Appreciated the talent, but as an individual, take him or leave him. And then two things. The Bryce Harper thing, mm-hmm. and then when Dave Martinez came in with the Camels, his first year as manager.
Uh-huh.
That really rubbed me the wrong way because that told me that he was thinking, oh, this is easy. All we got to do is tweak a couple of things, we're going to get over the hump.
Right, that's what he was saying. Yeah.
But then he found out that, hey, this isn't quite, you know, I got to deal with all
you gotta
this.
You got to manage.
Mm-hmm. And once that a certain level was lifted off from this year, he found it easier to manage, right?
Yeah,
you know, and you know, they just had to do some fine tuning when they were like 19-31, whatever it is that they kept repeating that they were out in the heart. I forgot because they said it every time.
Mentioned the team, they mentioned what they were.
Yeah. So okay, I understand that. But and then they developed the thing about, hey, let's just go 1-0 today,
right?
This is take it one game at a time. So. Because we at part of the Federal News Network, have a chance to broadcast the games, right?
Right.
You know, we know these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, we know who can do what and when they can do what. But the thing I liked the most about the team was they didn't let any negative part of their personalities into what they were doing. They brought what was the best about themselves to the clubhouse every day.
Right.
You saw it on the field. You heard it in the interviews. Whoever they were, they left that at, you know, like they used to, the We Are the World thing where they said they had to sign, leave your egos at the door.
Yeah.
They pretty much did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the way they won, you got to admire that.
They seem to have had fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was a difference. And it's like you said, the story for me of this World Series starts last year in the offseason. It's all about Bryce Harper not coming back.
Right.
This is validation for an organization that said, we're going to build a team. We're going to build a winner. The Lerner family, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to stick to a system who had success, but it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. You land Strasburg, who was the biggest prospect the year that he came out. You land Harper, the biggest prospect. Harper decides to leave, doesn't want to stay with the team. And I'm not sure. There wasn't much talk about the team's going to be better without him. You know what I mean?
No, not for me.
And certainly in the beginning of the season, it didn't seem that way. But there's only one, I mean, there's one main headline, one main story that goes throughout the season and to the postseason and through the winning the World Series, and that's Bryce Harper. He left, the Nats eliminated the Phillies from the playoffs, and the Nats won the World Series. How does that taste, Bryce Harper? can we interest you in a World Series ring?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, though, is the fact that, like you said, they had the number one prospects a couple of times, and then because of the injuries to Strauss. People forget that Strauss had Tommy John surgery, right?
You know? And they went to the postseason and they said, we're going to sit him for this and we're going to give him this thing. And, you gotta, and then I think the year after they had, they made the play, the postseason, and they had him on a pitch count for the year.
Yeah.
And they decided to sit him even though he could have pitched
in
the postseason.
Right.
Yeah. Nope, and we're not going to sit him.
Said, no,
we're gonna,
this is
anymore.
Too valuable, right? So and they were ridiculed by me because he should have thrown the ball. But but I think you look at the organization.
But then, you think, well, then how does he reward the team by saying, I'm not going to re-up? I'm going to test the box.
Oh, no. No, he had to do that.
Yeah.
He had to do that, right?
Because get his money. But anyway.
When you get to a point in life where they say, I want as much money as I can get.
Yeah.
And say, okay. And somebody offers you the money and you tell the team, well, this is what they're offering me. Well, okay. When you get to that point, like, you got to take it.
Yeah, that's
true. You
got
to take it. And you can be real relaxed while you're doing it. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going out banging on people's doors saying, how much you willing to pay me? They're coming to you. But look at it from this way, too. The marketing strategy of the team. When you know, because I used to go down to the park, like, cover games and things, and everything, every sign you saw was Bryce Harper. When they did the intro to the team, they showed the team that had the big picture of Bryce at the end. And that was the way that they marketed, I guess. And you got a young marketing team. They said, we got this asset. We got to do this. We got to do this. Mm-hmm. When he left, they were forced to do it a different way.
Right.
They said, now, who's the next guy? Who's the next guy? Now, Rendon would have been the natural fit.
Right.
But he's not that type of guy.
He's not the he doesn't have the superstar kind of aura about
him.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to do that. He'll just stand there and let you take his picture and all that. But so what they were forced to do was market the entire team as a team.
Right, right.
And to me, the defining moment of this whole season was the first time they played the Baby Shark thing in Nats Park, and everybody reacted.
Yeah.
Because that was the first thing. Because the Nats, for most of the time, up until this season, were like a park that the visitors could go to see their home team. Because DC is a transient city.
Mm-hmm.
People from Chicago would go wear the Cubs jerseys when the Cubs came to town.
Right.
The Orioles people, it would be 50-50 when the Orioles came down here. But the Baby Shark was the first thing the Nationals had that was their own.
That was
this
Nats.
This is our park. Mm-hmm. We are Nats. We are, you know, it wasn't about one guy's name on the back of the jersey anymore. It was about the team. And they reacted as a team. They won as a team. Coming back. And the elimination had to come from behind every elimination game.
I've never seen a team so good between the seventh and ninth innings. Like, could just be down, and you're like, they're going to score. I don't know what's going to be. Seventh, eighth, ninth, they're going to come back and win this game. And that's how I felt for game six. And by the way, Strasburg's performance in game six, ridiculous. I'm sitting there watching it, and I could sense. I can see it. I can sense the fact that he says, I'm going to put this team on my back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pitch our way to game seven. And whatever you guys do after that is up to you. But I'm going to get us to seven. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Let me throw in one more turning point during the Strasburg outing. When Bergman hit the home run, I'm not sure, was that game seven or game six? When Bergman hit the home run and carried the bat to first base, that was game six. That because, you know, the Nats, you know, 1-2, lost three at home, and in an elimination game, we're behind. Bergman admired his home run and carried the bat.
Yep.
That, to me, was a turning point because I felt the team, like I said, okay, that's the way you want to play this.
Yeah, turning point for that game and for the team, but turning point for Soto, who hits the home run and carries the bat like, yo, I'm here.
Right.
I'm here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it's like, you know what, that's turning point.
And I heard his interview. And
I feel like that, that put him on another stratosphere as far as star power.
It did.
Because he played well. He played great in the postseason.
And he made people notice him. Yeah. And then the postgame interview, instead of saying, yeah, he tried to show us up, he said, I thought it was pretty cool. He did it.
Right. He's like, I thought it looked cool. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to carry it.
That's a champion right there. That's something. The baseball, he will be the face of baseball for years to come.
Absolutely.
If he just keeps his head on straight, he's got the world at his feet.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like he's having a good time.
It's like a Scarface when a blimp came by and said, the world is yours, right? You know?
Right. Yeah. So, from Juan Soto, I mean, to Rendon, to Howie Kendrick, Ryan Zimmerman, like you said, it was definitely just it was a team situation.
Really? Adam Eaton, who's like, you say, is he on the team? You see him every once in a while?
Yeah. I mean, Wow. Yeah, great team win there. Okay, so real quick, back to the Redskins. got 2 weeks. What do the Redskins have to do during this bye week to have a chance to beat the Jets?
They got
to
change the attitude. They got to do two things. They got to ignore the media, stay off of social media. Mm-hmm. I heard my boy Jeremy Sprinkle. I responded a couple of times, talking about the fans on Twitter.
Did you hear that Mitchell Trubisky has said that all the TVs at Bears practice facility and at the Bears the headquarters have to be on mute or off of sports channels because they don't want to hear. He said, I don't want anyone hearing what the negative stuff the media is saying about the team. And by the team, he means by him. But they don't want anyone to hear what the media is saying.
Or me.
Right.
He doesn't hear what he has to say about me. But you know, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. But I responded, I don't know if young Mr. Sprinkle listened. I said, sir, please don't tweet. I know this is America. You know, you got freedom of speech. But there is nothing good that can come out of
You're
this.
You're not going to win.
Nothing good is going to come out of this, right? So stay off social media. It depends, right? Do you remember how the team used to get, like, drugged through the mud when, like, on the bye week, the guys would go to the Caribbean or something, right? Or their weekend off, right, you know? Maybe a couple of extra reps at the park.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Apparently, their day off this past week for the bye week, Callahan had him out there practicing. There's no days off on this.
Right. He had the option of doing that at one day, but by union rules, he couldn't do it any more than that.
Right.
Yes, good move. This is what I'm talking about, right? This is football. Let me ask you this. Do you think it helps or hurt Dwayne Haskins that he's so close to home?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I think that it helps him that he's close to home. I don't think being away from home, unless in a personal situation, you're coming from a toxic situation. I don't think being away from home helps you more than being close to home. I just think that when so much is being asked of you, being somewhere and around people that's familiar helps you stay grounded and remember who you are. You know what I mean? That's just me personally.
I have
no way of confirming that's legit or not. But to me, it would just assume that being around people that you're familiar with gives you the escape you need just to stay grounded and confident in who you are and what you know you're able to do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sense. You know, because you go the other route, like RG3 brought his family with him.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And that caused a problem, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
Dad in the locker room.
He maybe needed to be away, you know?
Yeah, I hope young Mr. Haskins takes that time to, I don't know how many boys he has in the area. I'm sure he does, right? You know, boys. I know there was one thing, the thing they reported in the news about his girlfriend, like, calling the plays off for him, like, or him her timing him when he was reading the plays or something like that. She was working with him on it.
Yeah.
And so we might have our new offensive coordinator in the wings, right?
Dwayne Haskins' girlfriend. She's going to start calling the plays for the Washington Redskins.
For real. Why not?
Amazing. Why not? It's the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. I see a win. The Redskins are going to beat the Jets.
That's right.
It may not be impressive. It may mimic the Miami game because the same way that we're looking at the Jets on the schedule, we're like, oh, good opportunity to win. The Jets looking at the schedule and said, oh, cool, an opportunity at a win.
That's right.
We'll see. They've got NFL caliber players too, so do we. Got to line up and make it happen.
Let me add this too. If you go on StubHub or all the ticket purchasing websites, you can get great seats for a ridiculous price for this game.
I bet.
I'm talking 50-yard line, lower section for two for under $100.
That might be, well, you know what, I'd help with the radio broadcast on the local network, but if I didn't, I would probably go to the game.
I would. Yeah, look, full disclosure, my wife's birthday is a couple of days before that. I would go, except for the fact she asked what I watch. So I watch. So
Come on. And she's a huge Redskins fan.
Yeah, she is, but apparently she's a huge Apple Watch fan.
It's the Federal Football Report. People, we'll catch up next week.